Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered, impermeable, unbothered, impermeable, unbothered. I'm the people's champ, Obama, and you don't understand. Melania, permeable, unbothered, sick, allergic to the con artist. Fake woke, an imposter, only real ones up in my roster. Like Junior C, that's my roster. You know, I just been barred up. I've been high, my shit been barred up. I've been high, my shit been barred up.
All right.
Hello, fam.
Oh, hello. Hello to all my cool cats and kittens.
What?
I told you to watch
Was this a
Tiger King.
Joke?
Oh, I told you to watch Tiger King.
I haven't.
Oh, no.
We were catching up on some other. No, we didn't. No. I haven't matured on that level as of yet.
Cardi was trying to raise money
to
get him
King?
Out to get Tiger King out of out of prison.
Oh my god.
It was you, Carol. You killed your husband, Carol. What happened to him?
He is a wild animal for sure. It's amazing what phrases can make you end up watching.
Yes, no, it's like number one on Netflix.
So crazy. Well, I guess if you can get past episode one, you got to get past episode
yes,
one.
Past
you're
episode
watching,
one.
You're like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, there's a lot of twists
what
and turns in the...
Interesting.
Well, sorry for the throw off. Happy Tuesday!
happy Tuesday. Is it? Are you sure it's Tuesday? Are you sure it's not Tuesday, Monday, December, Friday?
I still think that it's March, so don't even ask me about...
It's March 11th. It is not past March 11th, because March 11th was the day that the pandemic was said to the world, so it's still March 11th. We have not progressed.
I can't believe it's April.
As of yet. Yeah, it's about to be a month from the pandemic. It's about to be a whole
and
month.
We're staying still to at least the 30th.
You know, as stressful as it is, It is really important, because when you watch the nurses and the doctors and MTA bus operators, and when you see, like, what people are going through when it comes to, like, having to be outside as opposed to wanting to be outside, I am not a fan. I was not chemically created to be quarantined. However, we have to do it in order to protect the people that have to go outside and, you know, so stay off buses, people. Just whether you believe it or not, just do it to protect the people that have no choice. So.
Yeah. You know what's so crazy, though, is that it took this pandemic for people to respect those in the health field. And honestly, working close to a decade in an emergency room, well, two different emergency rooms in very prestigious hospitals, you know, you have to give that respect to those that are every day their lives are in, you know, not jeopardy, but they're on the line, and it's like they have to get the respect.
Kind of in jeopardy?
Huh? Well, jeopardy, yes, because you know, working in a field where you don't know what's gonna come through the door, you know, you never know, and it's like the respect factor. I'm so glad that they're getting respect. And 7 p.m. every day in solidarity, people are.
That's what I was going to put on my phone. I want to open the window at 7
But
o'clock.
It's just a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful gesture you know, but it shouldn't take, it's just like everything in general. It should not take something to occur for you to appreciate what you have right in front of you.
Right. And, you know, it's crazy because, you know, I opened the window because I wanted to let the air in, and I found the screen so I could open the window. And I'm looking outside, and it was like a kid and an adult that were, like, practicing somersaults. And then there's people walking around, and there's people riding bikes. Like, not that many cars on the road. People are walking. As horrible as this is, it's making people do things that they didn't normally do before. It's making people,
well,
you're social distancing, but you're also being more compassionate and more loving. Like you're social distancing physically, but you're coming together in a stronger way than you could ever come together physically.
Yeah, and that's what I've noticed is that even walking, people are acknowledging one another as opposed to, you know, rewind a couple of months when everybody was in their phones, on their phones, you know, just doing everything but acknowledging others in the street. And now it's like, because of the situation, everybody wants to have some human, you know, experiences or human interaction. And it's like, now everybody's acknowledging one another and just taking the time to, like, look up and appreciate the trees.
And it's crazy, too, because nobody's in their phones also because they're scared of the germs. So they're forced to be human because they're scared of getting germs, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all crazy. It's all crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I just think the funniest part was the funniest interaction that I've had this whole time was
With your mother?
Coming out the door and seeing my father behind my bushes saying 10 feet.
Not 6 feet, but 10 feet.
That 10 feet. That was probably, and your man had on the gloves, and I can't even remember if he had on a mask.
Yeah, I had a mask on.
You had the mask on. You see,
but what about mommy?
Exactly.
Yeah, but what about mommy running around in circles?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. She said, okay, take me jogging to your door. And I was like, oh my goodness. But it just, you know, it's making people be silly again. It's making, you know, you have to laugh and you have to joke in order for you not to cry and not to feel the pain and, you know, the anguish that comes along with what we're experiencing.
Well, you know,
go ahead, Daddy.
No, I was just going to say, you know, looking at it from this vantage point, I often ask, and I wish that young people in particular, I wish I could just put this thought in young people's heads. Why does it take a calamity, a catastrophe, for you to appreciate the beauty of life? You know, when I think about, and you see, the thing about this pandemic, so-called, is the fact that when you look at it for what it is a horrible thing on the doctors, the nurses, everyone working in a hospital. But what has happened is that has just focused us on the fact that the hospital, by matter of degree, is like that every day.
Yep.
You know,
it really is, though.
Heighten our attention. It's heightening our attention to it. So, oh, my goodness. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
They're really heroes and sheroes, but they've always been heroes and sheroes, always. And
exactly.
By matter of degree, illness is always in the hospital. Every time someone walks in, there's a potential, a danger coming into the hospital. That's why they're coming to you. So that we should appreciate people. The same with the bus driver. If you're poor and you're sick and you can't afford an Uber or a cab and you got to get to the hospital because you are ill,
absolutely.
No matter how you look at it, so that everybody in their own way, teachers, same thing, When you really look
at we're all finding that out now. Teachers are definitely saviors.
Okay.
They're saviors.
Okay. You know, I mean, I look back on my career and what have you know, your day doesn't end when you go home.
Mm-mm.
There is preparation of
I
tests,
know that.
There's preparation of the next day's classes, there is
correcting of the homework.
Of the homework, there is a number of things, but everybody plays a part in this. Everybody is important to us. Everybody should be important to each other no matter what. And it's unfortunate that it takes a path. Now, my question to us is this, because I'll tell you something. I remember 9/11.
I know
and everybody
coming.
Was
I know it.
Ebony and Ivory living in harmony and all
yep.
that. We're going,
yep.
oh my God. And it didn't say, well, look what happened. Look who was elected in 2016. It tells you something about Ebony and Ivory living in harmony, doesn't it?
I just said something similar.
After we get past this, there will be some that will have learned a very important lesson. And unfortunately, there may be some who don't.
Well, hopefully people, what was it that you were saying? People either they grow or they learn.
Wise,
what was
the wise don't lose. The wise either win or learn.
Mm-hmm.
You don't lose. Remember y'all were growing up and something would happen that wasn't in the best interest and it was something that wasn't, you know, whatever it may have been. My question to you was, what did you learn?
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn from this? Because even though it didn't go your way. Huh?
I didn't get that till I became an adult.
Well, that's why I wish I could plant seeds in the minds of the young, because If young people could get this point, don't wait for a catastrophe to occur to appreciate your life.
Mm-hmm.
When we get back outside in months to come or whenever it is, and we can literally breathe, when we can literally go to another place, we will appreciate going to the supermarket or to the movies or to a concert. Much better than we did before. And this is what I used to always tell your mother's family when I used to visit them in Jamaica. I used to just look around, and I remember one time we went for the holiday in December. This was my first time in my life I was ever experiencing the Kwanzaa, Christmas, New Year holiday in a tropical climate.
Wow.
And I told them, you know, you've been living in this beauty for so long, you take it for granted. You don't, you know, when we were in St. Thomas, and oh man, I said, this is beauty right here. This is, look at the flowers, look at the water, look at nature.
Yeah.
You know, but when you're living in it, when you're living in it, sometimes you don't appreciate it. And I pray that as we move up out of this, that we come with a new appreciation for life, a new appreciation for each other, a new appreciation for the jobs that we do, because we're all important. It makes me no difference what your job is. You are important to us. And I just wish and I hope and I pray that when we get up out of this, particularly young people, because this is going to be your world, that you come with a new understanding. I appreciate you, but I can only appreciate you because I appreciate me. When I mean that, I mean the person themselves loves themselves and realizes that they are the creator having a human experience, and that it is important that for me to be able to love and respect someone else, I've got to love and respect myself.
Absolutely. And for you to expect anybody else to love and appreciate you, you have to love and appreciate yourself.
That's it. And you see, my thing is, we have to look at history. And Sasha, you and I were talking about it when we were talking about doing the program today. And I was talking about the metaphor. See, we I look at this from a spiritual perspective. I look at this from a scientific perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I don't weigh too heavy in the science and neglect the spirit, and I don't delve too much in the spirit and neglect the science. But from a metaphoric, it is so interesting that this is happening during the Passover, Lent, and Easter season.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow.
Crazy.
Tomorrow is
crazy.
Passover. My question is, do people really know what the Passover means? Not what it has come to mean, but the original meaning of the Passover. It's astronomical.
I don't think anybody does.
It is when the sun comes and finds itself in the middle of the constellation known as the Crooks.
Oh.
The sun is passing over the heavens, and it is moving from moving into a new year, which is spring. And it was the celebration of what's called the Paschal Lamb. But the story got twisted. But when you think of what the Passover was in the Jewish community, it was a story when this is their story now. I'm speaking in metaphor, analogy, and story. It is when Egypt was said to have held them in captivity, and that Moses prayed to God to let his people free. And so God went and instructed through Moses to tell Pharaoh, people go. And the Pharaoh laughed at him and said, your God is no more powerful than ours. See, this is metaphor, but I'm telling the story for us to understand. Like I was telling you a fairy tale, I'd like you to look at my story like that. This is a story.
Like a fable.
And yes. That's basically what it is. It's a metaphor, but it's telling a scientific proof. There's science behind it, but it's a story. And God sent down 10 plagues. Okay? Sent down 10 plagues. The first one, that he turned all the water in Egypt red with blood. And then there was the locusts that came for a plague and destroyed their crops. 10th and final plague was that the firstborn, because that's why they were looking for Jesus back in the day, because they wanted to get the firstborn. What they said the Egyptians and the Canaanites used to do is to kill the firstborn, because the firstborn represents your family's legend. And if they can kill a family's legend, then the family doesn't exist anymore. This is a metaphor.
Wow.
So that what eventually happened was that God instructed Moses to tell the Jewish people to put the blood of the lamb on your door so that the angel of death would pass over. The angel of death would pass over. See, this is the Passover. Remember the story about the sun coming into another constellation. This, and they would celebrate it with a Paschal lamb. This now is the same thing, but it's told in a metaphor. They are personalizing this story. And so now you have this Passover. And what I'm telling black folk, metaphorically, to put the blood of our ancestors on our door. And by that I mean, do the right thing. It has now come out that this is devastating the black and the brown community.
I was going to ask that.
I've been looking at reports, trusted reports from people I trust.
Mm-hmm.
But why though? Because the underlying conditions like diabetes and asthma, heart condition, is prolific in our community. And so it would only make sense scientifically that if you already are in a compromised position with asthma, with diabetes, or with any of the other illnesses that we have in our community, that you would be susceptible to it, and you don't have the proper care.
That's it.
When you look at the Passover, and then you look at Good Friday, because remember, this Thursday is the Last Supper. This is what's called Holy Thursday in the Christian church. What I just told you about the Passover is the Jewish faith system. Now Christianity, you have this Thursday coming where Jesus the Christ, the central figure of Christianity, is going to have a dinner, the Last Supper. He and his boys are meeting for the last time.
He and his boys.
And they're going to have a big dinner. And eventually, the Romans, Italians, look at where it's devastating. See, this is where the story comes from. We're talking about people who are the descendants of the Romans. See, we can't get lost in the translation.
Wow.
I'm not saying that it devastated Italy because of this. What I'm saying is that just notice the similarity that it was the Romans that crucified Christ. The people of Italy, the people of Italy crucified Christ. The Romans.
Wow.
Okay, here's the story. And once you look at it from a metaphoric position, then maybe we can understand what we have to do to get up out of this right now. And they came in and they judged Christ. But you see, the thing is that this past Sunday was Palm Sunday. Nobody tells the story about Palm Sunday when Jesus came into town on a donkey and they laid palms at his feet. They worshiped him. They honored him. And within the next week, Jesus said, by this time next week, I will have risen, which is Easter Sunday.
Mm.
So when everybody giving you all these accolades and telling you how wonderful you are, beware, because within a week, that situation can change. The same people that honored him on Palm Sunday helped crucify him on Friday.
That sounds like cancel culture.
Look at the metaphor. And to the young people, look at the story. I'm not saying believe. If you do, that's your business, okay? There was a time I was heavy Christian, so I can't say nothing. But once I was enlightened to what the story meant, I began to realize the science behind the story. And it's a phenomenal story. And I pray that we move out of this situation all the better for it. Because with everything everybody wants to celebrate, Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday and tomorrow is Passover, there are faith systems that we are in the middle of. This is the week they say is going to be for New York, the apex.
That's crazy.
This is the story, but there's a science behind it.
Can I ask you a question about what you said about, what they were talking about the highest numbers, like it hitting African-American communities the hardest. There's two thoughts that I'm having, and then one of the thoughts that I was having was the idea when, before this was really crazy the way that it is now in the United States, they were talking about melanated people couldn't get COVID, couldn't get the virus because of melanin. Do you think that they are putting this specific conversation out so that black people didn't feel too special? Like that melanin does help and they know it, but they don't want us to know it, so now this story is coming out?
Scientifically, Sasha, I think they put that story out to kill us so that we would have an overabundance of confidence.
The first story?
Yes, about how we couldn't get it.
Damn.
That's what I think personally, because we're human beings.
That's crazy.
And no matter how you look at it, we're human beings. Melanin,
yes.
Folk know my research on melanin, my interest in melanin. But I also realize what melanin is. Melanin is very strong. In fact, melanin is what's going to help us get through it, despite the fact we have.
Yeah.
But when that RNA, when that ribonucleic acid kicks in, and we start to reproduce ourselves through our DNA structure, I think we're going to come back strongly. You see, we've been through. In fact, we've been amongst the greatest virus that exists 400 years. It's a mental virus. It's called white supremacy that comes about through white fragility.
Mm.
And so my interpretations of this, as it relates to science, all of our bodies living under these conditions, under the stress that we live under, the things that we go through, compromises our immune system. Melanin does everything it possibly can. In fact, I think melanin has done a phenomenal job just keeping black folk, particularly in the United States, on the planet. But I
exactly.
also think that melanin has its place, but we all must put it in its place and not think it's more than what it is or less than what it is.
That's true. That's a good point.
So that's my interpretation. I always said, but black folk are human beings. We are susceptible to viruses. Melanin will play a part in terms of protecting the immune system. You can't help but being around sick people, we're going to get sick.
Do you think it's also because, you know, like if you go to places that are considered the hood, regardless of where you live around the United States, there's people, there's older people and younger, middle-aged, all different ages, that some of them will be out, you know, hanging out with their friends, and some of them will be on oxygen, and some of them will be sick. But they're still surrounded by the, you know, by love and the community, and
yes.
they don't consider that to be something that hinders them from living their life. So, another thing that I was thinking is that a lot of people were probably as sick as the people in the hospital, but because we're so used to, as a community and as a people, we're so used to being strong because we have to be strong. We didn't allow ourselves to be sick. Like there's so many people that can't be sick. Like people that and they were talking about a lot of the jobs that are essential worker jobs are people of color. So they were exposed to the virus a lot longer because a lot of the service workers are black people.
Mm-hmm.
So on the other side of what I had originally said, we're so used to being strong that we don't notice when we're sick.
Yes, that's part of it also, and that's the way we've always been in the United States of America. You know, we don't let anything stop us. You know, you see grandmother with a cane or with one of the walkers inching to the store, putting a couple of cans.
I've seen that before.
Of food and maybe a loaf of bread. And then she inches back home. That's a great strength, but it also causes a great weakness. This is our condition that we've always been in. And I think now that in so many ways, everybody is put under this condition. All of this started because of the abuse of nature. This virus isn't an enemy. And I have never said we're at war because my arm is too short to box with nature.
Yes.
Nature speaks. Nature has watched. You see, in spirituality before religion, when I began the book, the first chapter, I started cosmic and earthly evolution, and I started that way. Because if on a calendar of 12 months, on the first moment of January 1st of that cosmic year, the Big Bang occurred. Humanity doesn't show up on the planet until the end of December. December 30th, to be exact. So think of how much time has elapsed. And in this calendar, every month is 1 billion years. Every day is 33,333,333 and a third years.
Jeez.
Every day. Million years. 33,333,333 and a third million years long. And if humanity didn't show up until December 30th as an entity in the cosmos, it is obvious that this Earth, which was born on October 15th, 8.5 billion years, then it's obvious the cosmos don't need human beings. We don't have to be here. We don't have to be here. And if we were wiped off the face of the earth, to every human being wiped off the face of the earth would continue. The plants would continue.
Wow.
The animals, the air, the water would continue. The earth don't need us.
Mm.
But we got too cute with ourselves.
Wow.
You see, we got too cute. And you see, the last chapter of the book, Spirituality Before Religion, is geared towards one thing I was trying to say throughout the entire book. The solution is to understand something. There is a return of the Black Cosmic Mother. The Black Cosmic Mother is returning. I'm speaking metaphorically, but there's science behind what I'm saying. The Black Cosmic Mother is the origin of all things that exist in the universe, and she is returning to one of her favorite planets, which is the Earth. But it's like if, like, Queen Mother, Mother of Mother is visiting the house, and Mother is, like, in the house, and the children are acting up. And the mother of the house says, I'm speaking about the Earth now, say, listen, don't make me get up out this chair now. I told you all to behave. We're trying to get the house together. My mother's coming. Queen Mother is coming. Y'all better get yourselves together, clean up your rooms, clean up the house, do as I'm telling you to do, and the children are still acting up. Mama said, don't make me get up out this chair now. And all of a sudden, Mama get up out the chair and said, all of y'all go back to your rooms now. I have had enough. enough of y'all. Get in your rooms. Kwame, get in your room. Jose, get in your room. Ali, get in your room. Shut up. Don't make me take my belt off now. Get in your room. That's what's happened. Mother Nature knows that the Black Cosmic Mother is returning. She's trying to get the earth together. The earth is cleansing herself. We've all been sent to our houses.
Wow.
We've been the children that's been acting up. And Mother Earth has said, my mother is coming. And this house has to be in order when she comes. Get in your room. Clean up your room. Clean up your funky butt. Because Queen Mother is coming. My mother is coming. So you all better get yourself together. And I'm not playing, because if I hear you playing in the room, I'm going to come into your room and get you. This is the metaphor for what I see happening. There is a reckoning. There's a reckoning that comes. And I've watched this. Sasha, Kandike, you've heard me for years telling people certain things. Stop it already. Stop. Get yourself together. Get yourself together, because there's a return of the Black Cosmic Mother. And when Black Cosmic Mother hits this earth, and if we're still acting like this, there's no reason why we have to be. They can get us off the planet, and it won't make a difference. The Earth will still continue. That's my metaphor. That's my story about the Black Cosmic Mother returning. That's what I meant when I told that story. No. And I wrote that book before I even knew this was coming.
Did you know it was coming?
But you didn't even realize you knew it was coming. But I sensed it for years. I've been, you know, not just me, a lot of the scholars out here, and not just Black folk, people in general, have been warning. Stop abusing the earth. Stop poisoning the water. Stop poisoning the air and the land. Stop treating people the way you're treating them.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it already. We have work to do. And these, I mean, these are really, there's a lot of words I could use. I don't want to get graphic, but not very bright. You know, we can call names and it's cute and we can get our frustrations out. But what we're watching right now happening is a perfect storm. The most dangerous situation has come to the earth when the biggest idiot is in the White House. It's a perfect storm.
Literally.
All of the conditions crossed over. Because
literally.
Even the other president, who I have no regard for, would have handled this better.
What other president? President?
Reagan, Bush, Clinton.
Oh.
Okay. Even the other presidents who I did not agree with at all would have handled this better.
Mm. Right. Right.
Perfect storm.
Only thing he is comic relief.
Say again?
I said the only thing is comic relief. Listening to his like, what the press conferences and stuff like this.
Yeah, but behind that comedy is a comedy of errors that his followers are going to pay for. This is a perfect storm.
Yep.
They follow him so much. They have made him their crutch in their fragility and their misguided thoughts of supremacy.
Mm.
They've made him a hero. They have made him somebody. A woman just the other day, I was listening to the D.L. Hughley show. And they were talking about this woman who came out and was talking about how this was all a hoax and there was nothing that was actually happening. And it was just the Democrats trying to make Trump look bad. And she got COVID-19 and died and then infected people in her family.
Yeah. Wow. Yep. Yep.
Mama,
that's happened
in your
to
house.
People.
Yes, it is. And it's mostly his followers. And you see, the thing is that Black folk are out to survive. I don't see too many hanging out doing, just hanging out. Most Black folk, when I'm in Harlem, because there's been a couple of times, I've had to go out to get food and get things that we needed to mail some things out that I felt had to get out now before this week or the next week, because I'm looking at these next 2 weeks as a very important time.
Mm-hmm.
And so yesterday, you know, I went out, what I consider to be for the last time, to get stamped mail. I mean, I had, when the postal boy looked at me yesterday and he saw how many things I had to mail out. You know, books and DVDs. He looked at me, and I could tell on his face, you know. But, hey, that's money, so he's making money the more I have. But went to the post office, and I went, you know, to my rounds. I went to BJ's. When I saw how many people were online for BJ's, I can't imagine anything I need that I would get on that line for. That. I mean, that line. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, they are.
I still can't find toilet paper nowhere.
Well, we'll talk after. Because
it's so crazy.
You, well, I well, toilet no,
paper,
don't have anything. Huh?
And no, it's everywhere that it's like that. It's
but,
everywhere.
But here's the.
I make those empanadas. They don't even have the empanada shells.
But you see,
they ran out of those. Just terrible. What the hell are you doing on those empanada shells?
The Wizard of Oz, a very large projection of a very small man.
And
that's what I've always felt.
Jeez.
The United States has been caught unprepared.
Pull your pants down.
Worse than that. But, yes, on that road.
But that's what I say, imagine if this was something that, you know, was even bigger than what it is. Imagine if we're not prepared.
Well, you know something.
What are we going to do?
Because America is the land of the greatest of the masters of illusion. They can make you think that we're the best country in the world, and we create nothing, we supply nothing, we do nothing. Our money isn't worth the paper that it's written on. The money that we spend is worth something because the government says it's worth something. I'm going to hand you a piece of paper and tell you that it's worth $10, and you have to believe me because I'm the government. America has nothing, owns nothing, manufactures nothing. We can't even protect our nurses and doctors because we're waiting for China to create the materials. The people that the president is blaming, now he has to go with his tail between his legs like, could you make us a couple of 100,000 masks? First of all, if I was China and the president came to me with his sorry looking face, never mind, I'm not even going to say that. Because, like, how are you going to ask the people that you're disrespecting for things to protect us from a virus that allegedly came from there? It just sounds crazy to me. That sounds crazy. I'm not going to finish my sentence because I'm not putting it out in the universe, but that sounds crazy to me.
Yes, absolutely. And you see, the thing is right now, like I've said before, in what we have to focus on. Somebody threw a bomb in your house. You can spend your energy chasing down the person that threw the bomb in your house, or you can spend your time defusing the bomb. What are you going to do?
Yep.
There's time after to go after and study what happened after.
Yeah.
But right now we have to defuse the bomb. And to do that, we must stay as close indoors as possible. If we have to go out, we have to have a certain distance. We should wear some type of covering over our face along with glasses because this thing can come at you in all of your orifices, all of your openings.
Right.
It can come in your nose, your mouth, your eyes, your ears. It can even penetrate your skin. First, defuse the bomb. Get healthy. But here's what I'm saying. With blessings to my friend and brilliant herbalist, Dr. Laila Africa, who joined the ancestors not too long ago. To Dr. Sabi, we all have to stop now and ask ourselves, are we treating our bodies right?
Right.
Are we really treating our bodies right? Are we really nurturing it, nourishing it, giving it all that it needs? And this is what these herbalists were trying to tell us. Everybody's trying to find out. Everybody asked me about Sabi, did he cure cancer? What I can tell you is that when I used to go to his clinic, and Sasha, I used to bring you at that time. Because by the time Kondike, you were born, Dr. Sabi had already left New York. But I would have brought Shu also. I would have brought Haru also. But Dr. Sabi had already left by the time you were born. It's right down there where Barclay Center is. The one thing that I know is that I was with people that told me that they were addicted to drugs. Dr. Sabi's products got them off. I know people said that they had diabetes. I knew somebody that had, I don't know what the advanced problem is, but the result is that they had diarrhea all the time. Dr. Sadie helped them, the products, and his counseling. When you go to Jamaica, and when you go down south or to a traditional African home, they always ask you, are you regular? And by that question, everybody knew what it meant, but it meant, like, are you purging your solids properly? That's what it meant. Are you going to the bathroom, in other words, with a number two? Now, nowadays, it's nasty. People say, oh, my God, I don't believe you asked me that. But back in the day, that was a question to be asked. Because if you were not regular, they would prepare a tea, put special plants, leaf of life, whatever it was, in water. You would drink it. They had cod liver oil and other things that would keep you regular. And that's when you were eating safe food. That was before the crackdown and the Murder King and the Haunted Castle. And the sunken donut. That was before that. That was when chicken grew up on your house. They grew up in your backyard. You had names for your chicken. Your mama told me stories about when she used to have to go out and get the chicken that was going to be dinner. We have to take care of our bodies. The one thing we should take from this is that the one thing that will defeat whatever viruses may come into your system is if your immune system is strong.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And much of the food that we're eating is handcuffing our bodyguard, which is our immune system.
Could be intentional.
It could be, particularly in our neighborhood, where they have the worst of food, where they have the foods that are about to expire. We have to be in the habit of reading labels. And I know, Sasha, you are particular on that, looking at dates.
Yes, I am.
We have to be very particular about that because they slide those things into our neighborhood. And if for any reason we either do not read or cannot read, we could be bringing food that could bring, particularly it that's canned or particularly that is bottled. You've got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
This is the message that I'm getting. Carry your bodies. Strengthen your immune system. Look at the food like okra. Okra is good for your mucus. And all of these respiratory diseases that you hear people talking about, it is the hardening of the mucus that becomes like little stones in your lungs. But if you balance your mucus, because there's a good mucus and there's a bad mucus. Bad mucus really is good mucus out of control. It's the same thing. But the slimy nature of okra, when you can see it, that's good mucus. That out of control becomes bad mucus, which now becomes the things that make your nose run, your eyes tear, your mouth dribble, that causes pneumonia. These are the things that we have to stop. And I think for you, Sasha, and Kandike and Heru, to have been exposed to this so young, you know, when you were born, Kandike, you were, in fact, you were just born. When I was
1988.
Are you aging me?
I wasn't going to say it. I was just going to say to talk about the proximity. You are an infant.
Hey, I'm older than you. Hey, I'm older than you. So, you know. Sometimes I get so excited to say things and then I'm like, oh, crap.
But you all grew up and Kandike, one time, in fact, that's when Laila Africa and I were together one time, was in a thing called Kumbalamba down south. Charles Finch and a lot of the elders and scholars brought a lot of us down to the Gullah Island. We celebrated African, Native American, African history and culture. And I remember that part of what you did was we stood guard over the sacred flame, where we burned sacred, you know, we had sage and we had a lot of different types of incenses burning around the fire. And in the middle of the fire was very special herbs that were being burned. And it was the job of the firekeeper to keep putting herbs in. And at the end, everybody that stood guard, because I stood guard every night. Nobody wanted to do night. I stood night. And at the end, we all were given like a jar full of the ashes. And Kasike, you remember for years after that,
mm-hmm.
That's the only medicine I used to take.
Mm-hmm.
You remember you said, can I get some of the Kumbalamba?
Yeah.
And I used to make a tea. I forget what the name we called it was, but it was the herbs that had been burned over 15 days.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the only medicine when I was younger that I used to take.
I remember.
That's the only thing I used to take when I became sick or not feeling well.
You used to always come to me and ask me. And I remember when you turned over the coffee in Burger King when you and your mother, you were an infant. Sasha was in school. And
I remember believe it or not, I remember that day.
Then they took you to the hospital.
No, you weren't there, Sasha. It was just me and mommy.
Why am I visualizing it? That's weird.
Because it's
a story I've told
so many times. Maybe it's been in your mind. And
maybe.
The doctor, and I remember the doctor said, oh, such a pretty little girl. It's sad that she'll have that that burn on her neck all of her life. Because it started at the bottom of your chin and went down your neck.
Oh,
and they gave you the antibiotics for burn. It was a bad burn because it was hot coffee. And your mother's
attention was
directed.
I was trying to get my chicken nuggets.
There we go. That's what it was. And your mother's attention had been diverted to something else. And when she turned back, that's when it happened. But the antibiotics and the A&D ointment and all the rest, I just let all that go. I won't go argue. I won't go say anything because I know that people are scared, you know, and they're upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to be responsible for anything that might happen. And so we went through the month and the 2 months, and the original burn went away, but the scar was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to your mother, I said, okay, now can you put her in my care now? And by that time, your mother had calmed down. She was all right, and she said, okay.
Aww.
And I started to put Dr. Sabi and Sister Ma'at's Evasolve. It's an ointment. And I put that on your neck.
That we just called Dr. Sabi.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I put it on every day.
Mm-hmm.
And within a month, the scar was gone.
Mm.
What's the story?
That's crazy.
The thing is that oxygen, through Evasolve, oxygen was allowed to get to your skin. Your skin was able to repair itself. The human body can repair itself if you give it the proper thing. You need oxygen. It's simple. I didn't say anything because I realized, okay, the antibiotics, if there's any poisons or infections and things like that, I'll go along with it. Didn't like it, but went along with it. The A&D ointment, okay, I went along with it. The bacitracin, I went along with it. But after 2 months and everything seemed clear, the real brutal scar, the rawness went away, and then I just put the Evasolve. And within 2 months, scar was gone. It's a simple process.
That's so crazy.
Your cells get oxygen, they will breathe. If they breathe, they will repair. That's the story on your outside and your inside. If your cells get oxygen, they breathe. If they don't, they suffocate. And a dis-ease, which is an accumulation of mucus, will occur. And that's the story. And to the living...
But that'll take money away from... That'll take money away from the pharmacy. So they're not going to tell us that.
Well, that's why they put him... They tried to put him in jail. But when he got up on the court and he started bringing people to testify, they had to shut it down because they were afraid that if the word got out that he actually was doing what he said he was going to do, they would throw the pharmacies under the...
Yep.
So they had to exonerate him to shut him up.
Yep.
That's why I went to him. Because when I read that article on October 1st, 1988, that they had exonerated him, I said, any black man that gets exonerated by this country, I got to know him. That next Saturday, I was right in Dr. Sabee's clinic, right up in his face. That was October 4th, 1988. I was right up in his face. And I said, I got to know you. And he laughed. And he said, Booker T. He said, I like that name, Booker T. But that's my memory. But that's not to say that the respect I have for Dr. Laila Africa, who did the same. He did it his way. And to the living, to people such as Queen Afua and Dr. Paul Goss in Los Angeles, all of these people are important to us. They are the herbalists. Mm-hmm. And there are those that I don't know. There are those that I can't call their name. But they're there too. We have to get back to living. We have to get back to another way of living and eating and drinking and thinking. Because the Black Cosmic Mother is coming. Get ready for her. If you think Mother Earth is something, wait till you see the Black Cosmic Mother.
Mm-mm.
She who you call.
I don't want to be calling her that.
She Big Mama.
I'm scared.
Mother Earth and Mama.
I want to be part of that.
The Black Cosmic Mother, Big Mama. And when she comes, that's it. Get
I'm
ready.
Scared.
It's the age of Aquarius. This is the age of the feminine principle. This is it. It's the return to the feminine principle. It's just simple like that. It's science. And those that are ready will open your arms and the Black Cosmic Mother will embrace you and love you.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of
open
you who
eyes
are,
and
have
tune your ears.
Here we go. Why?
Because I forgot.
So that you know what you see and understand what you hear.
Understand what you hear. There we go. You just got to start it for me. I can finish it.
Okay.
Wow.
You know,
you got a song for us?
I do. Sasha, I wanted to call you earlier and ask you to play a song.
Oh,
but
oh man!
I never got a chance. I
well, maybe we got it. What's the name of the song?
It's called "Natural Mystic" by Bob Marley.
We may have that. I'm checking.
At this particular time, we need to hear that song and listen to the words.
Oh, we got it. Let's play it now, and I'll play my song at the end.
Yeah. Okay.
Natural Mystic.
We got it, Daddy. We got it. All right.
Okay.
You know, I
get
it. I feel like I think that this is the song that Mommy sent to me, I think.
Okay.
Is she near you? Is that the song? I think, let's see if it is. I'll see if it is when I play it. I'll play it right now. We'll be right back. Okay.
Natural mystic flow.
Yep, that's what my mommy sent me.
That's the one.
That is so funny. That is so funny because that she sent me that song, and I was like, oh my God, it feels like this is what we're going through right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And remember, Bob Marley, now, you're going back to the 80s, the early 80s.
He's a prophet.
That's what I asked Tommy. I said, didn't they say he was a prophet?
Oh, that man was a stone. I mean, he was just, I remember when I first heard Not Be Great.
Everything.
Wow.
Everything that he, all of his songs, like, it could relate to then, now, and the future.
That's it. There's a natural mystic.
Yeah.
In the air, you know. If you listen carefully, you will hear. And that's what's so important.
Mm.
You know, even though I may have been acting up, when Mama said, get in your room, when she got up and she was tired of everything, I knew it was time to go in my room and get myself together. And there are some of us that just don't understand the messages that are being given to us from a natural perspective. This is nature talking to us. This
mm-hmm.
ain't no enemy. This is who brought us into existence. And they're tired of how we've been conducting ourselves. I'm speaking in the collective because I don't want to start pointing fingers. But as a human family, we have not acted right. We have captured animals from all around the world to sell them to people who want exotic animals.
Mm.
But what we don't realize is you cannot take an animal from Africa and from South America and from China and to Vietnam and put them in the same location. And that's what they did in those wet markets. It just wasn't the bat. It was that other thing that looked like an armadillo.
I can't remember the name of it.
But that's the other problem. That was the animal they said. But he should never have been there. He should have been at home with his family or her family. You're not supposed to
but
do
But you
that.
Know what's also the bigger picture? I was watching a documentary, and it talked about the reason that those wet markets came about was because the people that are selling it were poor, and that's all that they were able to do. So this should shed light on poverty and, you know, because people will do whatever when their back is against the wall.
Yes,
so this should really open up our eyes and tune our ears and make us realize that we're affected by everybody's situation. So just because you have money, just because you're comfortable, doesn't mean that you're not going to be affected by somebody who may not be as comfortable as you are. We have
That's
to look
right.
out for one another.
That's it. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right. Because if people had the proper hygiene, they wouldn't even be eating bat soup.
Mm-hmm. If they had the money,
exactly.
if they had the means. If they had the ability to have certain things, they would not have to stoop so low as to do these sort of markets.
And when you're
the world
there,
doesn't care.
But when you're there.
It doesn't, but guess what? This is affecting poor, rich, white, black, brown.
Everybody. Celebrities,
yellow,
everybody.
However, yes.
Everybody.
Exactly. So ultimately, it's like, you know, it's like a whatchamacallit, the circle, it's like you're affected by, everybody's affected by one another.
That's it.
So we have to realize and we have to support and we have to lend hands and do for others because if we don't, it's going to come back. It's karma.
That's it. That is it. We've and these are, like I say, some of us will come out of this the better for the experience. Some of us may not, but we all have to understand, you know, that they just say, look, I ain't creating no bomb, and it's not going to be a tornado or a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be something you can't even see.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to change what was beautiful and right to something horrible and wrong. I'm going to make it so that shaking hands in friendship is a bad thing. I'm
mm-hmm.
going to make it so
everything
that, hugging,
that we're taught to.
That's right.
Everything that we're
now,
taught in school, the reason that we go to school is for socialization.
That's it. And now hugging and kissing is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now what's good, stay away from each other. Don't touch each other. I'm going to separate y'all. And there's no bomb on the planet more powerful. I'm going to shut down your economic system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shutting everything down. I'm not going to impact your food. I'm not going to impact your money, your water or the earth, because those are my
I'm taking your PlayStation.
I'm
hitting you where it
hurts. That's it.
Fun
That's
for
it.
You. You thought you were going to have a nice summer? Hot girl summer?
Yeah. Not going to happen. Go home. Go home.
Party's
Spend
done.
Time with your family.
That's right. That's do what you're supposed to do instead of creeping
and
in the DM.
Just think about how you've been acting. Think about how you've been acting. I told you.
Mm-hmm.
And now look at you.
Oh, God.
So let's take a lesson.
And there's nothing you can do about it. No begging, no pleading.
Nope.
No.
No compromise.
Nope.
No. So it's
That's it.
It's a powerful time. Let's
but just
win.
Take from it. Take this time and spend it with family. Spend it with loved ones. You know, appreciate the little things in life because we forget
That's
them.
That's it.
And make yourself
As a
healthy.
Simple walk.
So that. Yeah, make yourself healthy so that if anything, I pray that nothing like this ever happens again, but if we make ourselves healthier, it won't affect people as much because your immune system will be in a better position.
Mm-hmm.
And we just got to, you just got to do your best and try not to... Do no harm and try to do the best you can and appreciate the people that are putting their life at risk so that we can stay home.
That's it.
And alive and healthy.
That's it. That's it. And, it's interesting because it's at a point where they're saying, you want to help us? Stay home. That's
stay
how
home.
You can help us.
Yep.
It's not even like you can do anything to help them out. If you're a healthcare worker, that's one thing, but... Other than that, nothing you can do to help us but stay home.
Yep. So nice that we could do this from home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just stay safe and do what you got to do.
That's
yeah,
it.
Keep your head up. This too shall pass, and we'll come out bigger and better.
That is it.
And for anybody that has lost anyone or anyone that's sick, we just wish strength with the family and so that families have the opportunity to move to a stronger place emotionally and mentally and just be better and that everybody's all right.
That's it.
As many people can be all right as possible. And I think that's what we're gonna do today. I guess we'll see each other. Hopefully, we'll have something else to talk about in the next 2 weeks.
Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Everybody, enjoy the rest of your evening.
Absolutely.
Thank you. You too.
Hotep fam. If I can just say this, make time serve you. Don't serve time.
Mm. There we go. That is the perfect way to end this show. Some days it feels like, never mind. Some days it feels
Take
like
the best and leave the
That's
rest.
That's not true.
Hey.
That's not true. I was being facetious. It's not true. It's actually okay. We're okay and we're safe and we're healthy. So
we're also human beings. We're human beings being stretched to our limits. The time to find out exactly what you're made of.
Right, there we go.
There's a thing called fourth quarter drill.
All these snippets are perfect ways to end the show.
You know, there's something known as fourth quarter drills. Fourth quarter drills in sports is when you have gotten to the limit of what you believe your physical exertion is, but then something inside of you comes forward and gives you another burst of energy. That is the heru. That is the hero. That's who appears when you think everything is lost and you can't take it anymore. It's that internal spirit that comes forward and says, yes, you can, and yes, you will. So let's do it.
Yes.
There we go.
I'm ready.
Give my regards to the
fam.
Family.
All right.
That's right. Until next time.
Will do.
Okay.
See you next time.
I was 5 years ago. I had an area code, so I could get you on the phone. The old you I'm looking for. My favorite memory, you call me your majesty. And we let this whole castle fall down. Oh, what a tragedy. Do I still live in your head? Do you still live with regrets? Cause I do, I do. Do you got something on your chest? Do you wish we weren't finished yet? Cause I do, I do. Come bring me all your sins. Forgive all of them. If you put a band-aid on the scars, I'm no good at hiding them. Would you give me your heart again? Or at least let me borrow it. I could just see you, we don't even have to talk. I'll take an argument. Do I still live in your head? Do you still live with regrets? Cause I do, I do. Do you got something on your chest? Do you wish we weren't finished yet? Cause I do, I do.
White light we've all heard about before we finally get to see behind the curtain, before we finally get some answers. I hope God is waiting. I hope love is waiting.